Yeah, I know it sounds familiar to you. We'll tell you who it is in just a second. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9 The Game.com on this Sunday morning, the 15th day of September. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody up in Smyrna.
All right, now.
Up in Smyrna. Mr. Crenshaw, as we hear this, leave you a little bit more to know who is that we're listening to and what are they playing?
This is the Jackson State marching band, and they're playing, tribute to Frankie Beverly, who passed away this week, Frankie Beverly mm-hmm. Mays. Yep. Before I Let Go. And, you know, his is an interesting career. The soundtrack for folks of my contemporaries, our contemporaries from the, you know, really hit big in the mid to late 70s. And, you know, he kind of parallels Luther Vandross in some of that. If you hear his music play somewhere, you hear Luther's song, you hear Frankie Beverly's song. And, you know, at the family reunion or whatever, they're like family members. Mm-hmm. You've heard so much of them. But the thing about his music was it never crossed over. And I never understood why it didn't cross over. He didn't get, like, Grammy Awards or American Music Awards. He got a lot of Soul Train and BET Awards and that thing. And it seemed to be okay with him. But here's a guy out of Philadelphia. And maybe we could talk with Gil about him a little bit here in a little bit as well, because I'm sure Philadelphia is reflecting on him. Discovered by Marvin Gaye. And somebody like that puts a seal of approval on you. You know, Marvin Gaye's music goes everywhere. But for whatever reason, this band's music was kind of localized in that regard.
Didn't Marvin have that disconnect from Motown, though, during that time that he got him? Because remember, Marvin was one kind of entertainer at the beginning of his Motown career. Then he got more focused on, you know, issues of the day and became a different kind of singer. And
music with messages.
Exactly.
Music that told stories. And that was kind of what he did. Not to the degree of Marvin Gaye, you know, but I mean that was kind of some of the same thing with him. And it took Beyonce doing a remake of this song mm-hmm. for his song to go pop and make it right on the pop charts and crossover. She took his music over.
And did he stay with Mays? I mean, it was always Frankie Beverly.
Always Frankie Beverly.
That was
Mays.
That's what I thought of.
Up until about a year or so ago. And the band that had been playing with him kind of started doing their own kind of act. I think they saw him getting ready to retire and saw his health becoming a factor. But so he had a different band that was playing with him at the end.
You can look at this hindsight 2020, and as you said, he was cool with it, so maybe it wasn't a thing. But I draw a correlation to Teddy Pendergrass. Teddy became that pop star a little bit when he left the Blue Notes.
Blue Notes.
And so I'm just wondering if that was the reason why. Because Frankie never went out and did. And he probably would have done some commercial things. He might have done some things that put him in front of an audience that may not have known of his music before. And I say the same thing about Teddy Pendergrass.
I think Teddy sounded like an R&B or soul singer from that time. Frankie had a different type of voice. Almost, I won't say it's similar. It's kind of like Nick Ashford. Nick Ashford didn't have the average voice for a soul R&B male vocalist. He did not have it was different. It was unique. It went great with his wife, with Valerie Simpson. That was sounded fantastic. But his voice was just different.
And thank you. There's so many of us. We got t-shirts.
How about that?
You should come around.
How about that? But I mean right now the HBCU band directors are putting together the halftime tribute shows. And the music, because it's pretty much the songbook. If you go to an HBCU game, you're going to hear some Frankie Beverly too.
Well, I believe that probably Noel will leave us with Pride and Joy.
You know.
So we got to shut up and make sure we hear that. We'll talk over that. Yeah, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this 15th day of September, two birthdays mm-hmm. that stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Marino.
Yep.
And turning 40 years old, Prince Harry.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're going to feel old because you remember when he was born.
Yeah, man. You remember when that dude showed up.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, he's 40 years old, Prince Harry. And he getting a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
We ain't got to worry. No. Because, see, what happened was when the 40th birthday hit, we found out there were reports this past week that the Queen, see, she took care of him. His grandmother took care of him because she knew his brother was going to get a whole bunch of other stuff that he wasn't going to get.
Right.
So the Queen, you know, she put a whole bunch, you know, like, go look at my pocketbook, baby. I got left something for you.
Now, which pocketbook? Because we got a bunch of them around here to look at. They're going through the closet. Which one? Not. Wasn't in that one. Let's get the other one. Wasn't in that one.
So, you know. I know how you like talking about her purse.
Yeah.
But he's getting a ton of money his grandmother now that he turned, I think, 40.
Yeah.
And then he'll get a little bit more. But, yeah, because Prince William's going to get all this.
He gets everything.
His nephew's got more money than him.
Probably so. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't
little Prince George.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it. I hope you guys were tuning into the Scoreboard Show this week. Chris Parker and I won. We had two more Cub reporters this year who were very good. One was from Chattahoochee High School. One was from Westminster School. And so we're just doing that. Just about football. Of course, they've got next is going to be returning with Sam and Greg. We want your 13 and under young people who have an inkling. They enjoy sports and whatever sport they enjoy covering. They could be talking about a major league sport. They could be talking about their little brother or sister playing T-ball or whatever.
You do that so well. That's well, they great. Do. Yeah, and, no, and, you're right. And you ain't got to stand on the wet sidelines.
Yeah, you do. You don't have to do that.
Roll over in bed. Just call us up.
Right.
We'll do it that way.
Be happy to have you. That is coming soon, so stay tuned for that. One note, though, this week we saw more and more high school teams with the A on the back of the helmet in honor of Appalachia High School. Now, Winder Barrow, who was in Barrow County, they did play football Friday night. They're back in school, and they played against Second Year. Second Year is coached by Tony Lottie, who was the former head coach at Appalachia. We had him on Friday night. Really heartfelt thoughts of him for the people and for the students there at Appalachia High School. We do know that they plan to return to school on September 23rd. That is the plan. That they return to school. They cannot participate in any type of athletics until they do go back to school. So in speaking with their athlete, communicating with the athletic director, they will work in a way to re-implement athletic competitions for the fall sports teams and going forward at Appalachia High School. But their tentative plan right now is for students to return to school on the 23rd. So we see them and still consider sending our condolences to those who lost loved ones and our support to those as they return to the school. All right, some college scores because we're going to talk with Dave Cohen a little later on. He's going to run down what happened with Georgia State. Georgia State a winner last night over Vanderbilt, 36-32. He's going to get into that. When we saw what Georgia did, I got the one-point win with Georgia Tech, a winner over VMI. They beat the Keydets. 59-7 final score in that one. Georgia Southern's a winner, 42-14 over South Carolina State. Kennesaw State goes a long way. They lose to San Jose State. San Jose State beats them 31-10. You move to Conference USA and you get to see USA. Playing that one. Mercer's a winner over Chattanooga, 10-3 final. West Georgia, the alma mater, takes us on the chin. Eastern Kentucky beats them by a score of 26-7. Final score in that one. Valdosta State's a winner, 34-0 over Fayetteville State. Fort Valley, 42. Kentucky State, nothing. And Florida Memorial and Clark Atlanta are suspended. They're playing down in South Florida. The game is tied at 28. And Clement weather comes up, and the game has been suspended. If I find out something this morning about when they're going to resume that game or finish it, I will be sure and say so. But right now they're tied at 28 with a suspended football game. Central State beat Savannah State 10-3. DePaul over Berry 33-0. Southeastern 28-10 over Reinhardt. And Anderson, this is a brand new football program, beat LaGrange 44-14. A new football program up in Anderson, South Carolina. Bobby Lamb, the former Furman coach, is the coach at Anderson, a new program. Howard 35, Morehouse 21. As Howard wins that game, they played that one on a neutral site. So those are some of the college scores that were coming up. And we got a second or two. Thoughts on Mr. Woods having surgery this week?
Well, my thoughts is he wants the better quality of life. Whether he wants to come back or not, he probably does. I mean, listen, we could have the same conversation. Obviously, we got here by different avenues, but Tua, you know, should he come back? Should Tiger come back? Have they shown us enough? Tiger absolutely has shown us enough.
Yeah, Tua is still at the point where, you know, you want to see him. We saw what he did collegially. Now we want to see if he could do the same professionally. It seemed like he had a team that was set up to achieve some things. I think that's the thing where you feel bad about the thing with Tua. With Tiger, he's got nothing to prove to me. Now, because this current generation who missed all the other stuff, maybe he got something to prove
to
them.
No, he got nothing to prove. He proved it to his kids.
But he ain't got nothing to prove to me.
No, he got nothing
because
to prove to me
either. I saw it all the first time.
Exactly. And you were there for a number of – and by the way, we can tell a story now because somebody else told it. And I know you didn't want to tell this story because you didn't want to divulge names. But somebody else told a story that you have kept in your back pocket that – I wanted you to tell.
How you know it's in my back pocket?
Because I heard it. Well, you never told it. That's why I mean it's in your back pocket. I wanted you to tell it here. You said, no, I don't want to tell it. And I respected that. Somebody else told it. So I want to mention because you talked about Tiger. And Tiger and his connection to the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a part of that craziness that took place during those years when the Big Three were with the Braves and they traveled to New York.
Because they played golf with him at spring training.
Exactly. And Tiger would then come and take batting practice with them in spring training because they were in Orlando. And his, you know, one of his homes was there then. But what people didn't know that Tiger accompanied them or was maybe in New York but rode with them to their games during that time when John Rocker popped off about. Somebody else has told this story, so I'm not putting it on you.
Okay.
When John Rocker was calling all, you know, New York women and, well, just New York, period, all kinds of nasty names.
People on the train and subway.
Yeah.
Train.
And so, but unbeknownst to everybody else, while this group of baseball players were coming into the stadium and getting, you know, pelted with whatever, amongst them was Tiger Woods.
Yeah, one of the players, there was the family members. The family members, the Braves family members were coming in, and they had to walk through basically this gauntlet of New York fans who
were shouting. Well, they made it sound, the story I heard, the guy made it sound like one of the times he was with the actual team members.
Yeah.
And walking through there.
Well, he was walking in with the family members because during the game he sat with their with family members.
I mean, I don't know. Listen, maybe this is just something he wants to do so he can participate on the senior tour.
Well, obviously he wants to be healthy enough to play that. And, you know, those guys can't wait for him to come out.
Exactly.
Because when he comes, it's just like Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus said for the longest time he wasn't going to play on that tour. He went out there and played some game on there, you know, and it made the prize money go up.
Exactly.
They want Tiger to come out on that tour, Champions Tour, and make their prize money go up. Okay. And plus, you know, he'll be able to compete and he can ride in a cart.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, no. Hey, listen, at some point I got to tell you I got a new bucket list location or an event I want to go to, and it's taking place this week.
Ooh.
But I can't, you know.
What?
There's only one
where?
To go to.
Tell
you. I'll tell you when we come back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9. I'm taking you with me, too. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 15th day of September. How you doing?
All right.
You're just bouncing around here. All right, we got our first guest of the morning here, and look, we got
to
get.
Can't wait! Always great to visit with this guy.
Yeah, and I want him.
We
to
don't know where to start with him. Where you got a place to start with him?
Yeah, we actually do have a place because he got a text last night. Let's see if he's going to participate in the text. If you're just joining us, we started the show talking about some of the things that we have going on weaved throughout this show, and one of the elements is the fact tonight is the Emmy Awards. Not that we're going to sit and watch him, but gave us an excuse to come up with our list of our five all-time favorite TV shows. So I sent Gil a text last night. I didn't wait for a response. I just sent it to him. I said, if you can participate in it, cool. If not, you know, we got plenty of other stuff to talk about. So as we welcome Gil Tyree in from the wonderful city of Philadelphia, did you get the text and did you get a second to he's
No, I didn't. I did not get the text. And you know something? You haven't given me enough time.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right, so okay.
Can you think of one or two though? Can you think of one or two? Like if you were going on a desert island, like I'm taking this catalog of all Sanford and Sons, or I'm taking all ERs, or I'm, you know.
Well, I will say this: Good Times will be in there.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, the Jeffersons will be in there.
Okay.
You brought up Sanford and Son, most definitely. How about Room 222?
Man, Mr. Kaufman.
Yeah.
Man, Mr. Kaufman. That's going back.
Yeah.
So, and
Gary
yeah, that's,
Valentine.
That's going back. But, I mean, outside of those four, I'd defer to Sam to give me the fifth one. He would pencil in my fifth.
We're going to get Sam's, but this is yours. Okay. I'm surprised he didn't have a drama show in there. He didn't say, I mean, Gil didn't have a drama show.
I'll give you a drama show. I'll say Mannix.
Oh.
Okay, Mannix. I was a big Gail Fisher fan back in the day.
Oh. I always liked it when Mannix would sneak around. I always liked the crunch he had on the bottom of his shoes. He'd be always like,
yeah. And well, cool, Gail Fisher and Denise Nicholas were two of my faves.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's great. And an honorable mention to Diane Carroll.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, Diane Carroll too. Absolutely.
Gil, always great to catch up with you. Of course, it's a big week for Falcons fans. I don't know if you watched what happened with the team last week, but not what people were expecting to see. But now they come up your way tomorrow night, prime time. The lights will go on against the Philadelphia Eagles. And what are your thoughts up there? People right. Have people gotten over the debacle with the Eagles at the end of last season for this year?
You know, Sam, that's a good question. It's still in the back of their minds. Ironically, last week's game between Pittsburgh and Atlanta was broadcast here in Philadelphia. And, you know, a lot of people had some eyeballs on that game. But this is a game for week two, from a Philadelphia perspective, is really, really important because of a couple of things. One, the health of A.J. Brown. He did not practice yesterday. And he has a bad hammy, and this is a hammy that bothered him when he was at Ole Miss. It was a hammy that bothered him when he played for the Tennessee Titans, and I'm a little concerned about that. And he is questionable for tomorrow, and for tomorrow night, and that'll be huge if he can't go. The other thing, even though they did win the game, they beat the Packers 34-29. There's still some concerns about Jalen Hurts and his ability to adapt to his new center in Cam Jurgens. They had some problems. There were some turnovers there. There were some poor throws and what have you, and everybody's looking at that. And also from the standpoint of defensively, too, Sam and Greg, I mean, your leading tackler was Zach Bond, and a great guy, picked him up from New Orleans, somebody that Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator, is well aware of from his days in the NFL, and really is very excited about him. But the second level, if you look at your top four tacklers against Green Bay, they were all in your second level. So that means your pass rush is something to be really, really concerned about, or at least it piques you up a little bit, piques your interest up. Other than that, you know, Nakobe Dean's been playing well. They have a little semi-controversy with Devin White. Is he hurt? Is he healthy? Will he play tomorrow night? Is he already in Vic Fangio's doghouse? So there are a lot of things in play. And of course, Saquon Barkley has been the big story here, too.
That's what I want to get to.
Play as well.
I'm sorry for jumping on you there, Gil. Again, Gil Tyree joining Sam and Greg. No. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, I was sitting on this one because you guys got a weapon. You have a weapon now that you can't manufacture. You can't go out and draft. You have to have a player who has this intestinal fortitude that came from some unimaginable place. And I say this because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley, you know about his time in New York. So to get out of that situation and the run the way he did, like I've seen in preseason and I've seen, or at least in footage in camps, and last week, you got a guy who wants to prove that not only is he one of the top running backs in this league, but that the running back position should not be slept upon. And this is what you can get if you get the right person. It's not mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, but it's flat out straight ability running. You know, this guy is, like I said, he's not going to be that dude out in San Francisco, but he is showing mm-hmm. you that he is a special type of running back, and Philly should be just foaming at the mouth, happy to have him.
Right now, Greg, you're spot on everything. The one caveat I would say, you know, regarding Saquon is right now he's healthy. Okay, that's the one thing. He, you know, and there's a little concern about him moving forward as he's integrated even more in Kellen Moore's offense, and he gets more and more touches. But you're absolutely right. Coming back home to the state of Pennsylvania was a star at Penn State. Grew up, you know, much story has been chronicled and how much, you know, and then you add the love-hate relationship between, not really love-hate, but hate-hate relationship between the Giants and the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then, you have a toxic mix. But, you know, I just hope he doesn't become Christian McCaffrey in terms of what they're dealing with out there in San Francisco.
Yep.
Okay, and that's my concern. He's had a lot of injuries. Okay, he's had a good career, but he got a lot of mileage on him. And we're just in week two of the NFL season. Let's see how this looks, you know, come November and December as we move deep into the schedule.
Yep.
But you're right. You're absolutely right in so many ways. And he's been the X factor. You know, I think that Coach Sirianni was criticized a little bit for not using him in the preseason, but you see why now, because he's really he turned it on down in Brazil last week, and he'll have the lights on him again tomorrow night. And of course, you know, it's a big night here. They retired Nick Foles' number. You know how Atlanta and Philly play. I mean, it's always something, whether it's an NFC title game with Michael Vick or whether it's Matt Ryan returning back to his hometown. There's always some intrigue. The only thing we don't have is Julio Jones, who ended his career in Philadelphia. That's the only thing.
I'm surprised.
We don't have to make this a big, but you guys have got some issues, you know, with, you know, the quarterback situation where we see Michael Penix. There's a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue, and we'll see how this thing shakes out.
That I was going to say, that surprises me that Nick Foles is getting his. I mean, I understand why.
Oh, yeah.
But
like
a minute and a half ago, he won the Super Bowl. And I bet if I ask Gil, there's some guys he stepped over who should have their number retired that played for the Eagles.
Oh, no question.
Who's the one guy that had their number retired that you feel is being looked over?
That hasn't had his number retired?
Right, with Philly. Like Randall Cunningham, has he had his?
I think Randall Cunningham definitely. I would put Seth Joyner in that category. I'd probably put definitely B&E. You know, they've given Eric Allen what he's accomplished, and his accomplishments have been honored here. Another guy that I really think that they really never got a lot of publicity in what he did was Wes Hopkins. Okay. And I thought Wes did a great job when he was here. And of course, you know, what are you going to say about Brian
Dawkins?
Safety, what are you going to say about that? You know what I'm saying? So all of that being said is, you're right, Greg. You're right. You're absolutely right.
All right. Before I let you go now, the Braves got the Dodgers here in town, and we are actually rooting for the Phillies.
Yeah,
we're rooting for the Phillies this weekend because you guys are playing the Mets. I never thought we'd be saying that, but that's how this thing is shaping up, right?
Sam, I'm glad you brought that up because I was really looking forward to talking to you, Greg, about this. The next seven games. Scoreboard watching tonight, Dodgers play Atlanta. Phillies play the Mets earlier, so you guys have the late game. Then we go into a series where Phillies play at Milwaukee starting tomorrow night. That's a big series at Milwaukee. And then the following weekend, next weekend, four games in New York. Games against the Mets.
Yep.
New York. And then the Braves get the Mets in Atlanta. That's going to be our determining series in terms of what we see, whether it's a wild card, whether it's the division, or what have you. Right now, Philadelphia's magic number is 7. They look like they're going to clinch the division. I say look like because I was a little concerned on game one of that Mets series when they got blown out, and we just have not seen. We've had some struggles in our terms of pitching staff with Suarez, and I'm not sure Nola's right. The only consistent good thing has been Wheeler, and Bryce Harper got on track, hit 2 home runs last night, so we'll see. But I still think, and I said this before when we talked about this earlier in the year, Greg and Sam, injuries have played a factor in this, and the Braves are still hanging around, and they've had some major, major injuries, but they're still right there, okay? And you know how this series has played out, whether it's Philadelphia or the Braves. It's always the wild card team seems to prevail in that series in the postseason. And right now, I think the Braves are in a pretty good situation. They just got to continue pressing on and pressing on. But once they get past this and they're able to get the wild card, and right now that threat is from New York, I think they're going to be okay. I really do.
We got to bring them back during the playoffs. Gil, we're going to be calling you up.
All right, Gil.
Have a good rest of your weekend, buddy. And as always, we can't
thank you. Listen, I'm sorry I had your brain fog with Brian Dawkins. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I know it's early, but please excuse me.
We covered for you.
We're just glad to have you on.
Yeah, man.
And by the way, he is social.
And we've
got to let people know where he can find you.
At
GT.
Greg, tell him I'm so happy. He had a late night last night, Del McGee. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Georgia State. It was Vandy, but it was the SEC.
And it means more.
But he's doing a great job. He's going to get that thing turned around. And, we can talk about college football. I have some thoughts about that. And then, Greg, you know how I feel about Mr. Tyreek Hill. That's a conversation for another day.
We're going to bring you back. We're going to get you in on that.
I got some thoughts. You don't put yourself in that situation.
We're getting yelled at by our producer here.
I'm out. Okay.
Yo, we'll talk to you soon. Take care, buddy.
We have to get him back soon. By the way, you can follow him at GT6135.
Into Noel's World up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I love this song. We got to get back in it because we jumped on Noel's time. So I want to give her as much time as possible while we listening to Whitney coming back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. You just come in when you want to. Everybody's head is bopping up here.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's listening right now. Their head is bopping. Fingers popping.
That's because Babyface did his job on this one.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna make me unbutton another button.
not the button.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Yeah. How you doing?
It's time for Noel.
Pretty good.
It is. Yeah, no, it's that time.
So we started with a little Whitney Houston because I found out something interesting this week, and I just want to talk about it.
Okay.
All right, now.
So I was kind of two things melded into one. I was watching a lot of Keenan Ivory Wayans and In Living Color content this week on top of some other things that I was watching, and I found out that Keenan Ivory Wayans helped write The Five Heartbeats.
I believe that. I believe
and
that.
And on top of that, apparently almost all of the cast were supposed to be from In Living Color, except for two people they didn't get to cast. And I really, really, I just want to think about how interesting this film would have been with these two in the roles. So Eddie Kane Jr. was supposed to be, in Robert Townsend's mind, Denzel Washington.
Whoa.
Okay.
A 1980s. So it sounds like he was friends with Denzel around 88, 89, and then Denzel did Glory, and Robert didn't realize that he wasn't going to be able to get Denzel to do Five Heartbeats.
They were together in Soldier Story.
Yeah, Yep.
So didn't get that one accomplished. And then apparently the role of Baby Doll was supposed to go to Whitney Houston.
Mm.
And I find that interesting because if you go back and remember the Five Heartbeats, there's a scene at the end when, you know, Eddie Kane Jr. cleans himself up and Duck goes to the church to hear them in the choir. And he's in the choir with Baby Doll, but Baby Doll don't sing. So that leads me to believe that Baby Doll's role was actually supposed to be larger than what it was.
Okay.
Can't argue with that. That's pretty much every movie.
Somebody's
roles get cut back.
Yeah, I think if they would have gotten Whitney Houston, we would have actually had like these two singers trying to make it kind of storyline. But then, you know, Eddie's on drugs and she ascends. And so he's watching the group ascend and her ascend and she move on. But because we didn't get the Whitney Houston of it all, it's like, exactly.
Right.
Like we lost some storylines in there that could have been really interesting.
We're going to throw that movie back, though. That's still a good movie.
Oh, no, that's a classic.
I love Five Heartbeats now.
Oh, yeah. All the right. Dales put their foot in that song.
But, you know, when you do this and you think about or you hear later on so-and-so was supposed to play that.
Right.
It gives you reason to pause. What's the gold standard one I always bring up with Sam? His favorite series, or one of them, may not be that if it was cast the way it was originally supposed to. Wasn't supposed to be Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. Supposed to be Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they wouldn't let him out of
with
CBS. Wouldn't let him go,
so
but he was Magnum.
Get him out of Magnum P.I. Yeah.
But they actually did an episode that was an Indiana Jones type.
They do stuff like that.
I'm sure there was.
Of Magnum.
That happened before. Did. Was it a Remington Steele wouldn't let Pierce Brosnan out?
Wow.
To be James Bond. So that's why we got two Timothy Dalton James Bond movies.
Oh, is that what that was about?
That was about that, because he was doing Remington Steel.
Wow.
And they wouldn't let him out of his contract. Listen, if you got an actor that's making you money, you're not going
to
You're not trying to.
You know, it's like.
It's sports, everything. If you got a cash cow, why would I give you to the other guys?
Right. I thought it was so interesting, back to In Living Color, that, like, once Jim Carrey got his first two films off the ground or whatever, mm-hmm. and he got greenlit for The Mask, he was still trying to make his schedule work to do In Living Color. Like, he was trying to make it work for them instead of In Living Color actually fighting them. But I'm like, you still want to be on that show?
They all try to do, and maybe somebody pushed them for that. But that's all. That goes back to the John Travolta thing.
Oh, yeah,
he was the first one.
With the sweat hogs.
He was the sweat hog, and then he went and made Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
And then, he had to go back with that 70s haircut, Tony, what was his last name? Tony from Saturday Night Fever? People are screaming it at the radio right now.
Tony Manero.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, the show business is laced with these types of stories. Although I'm trying to think of a female one.
Yeah, they're always so interesting when this happens.
Hmm.
Like you start picturing a whole different cast and storylines and what it could look like or
Fresh
what they would have sound like. Okay,
that's the one that comes to mind, where they had the two and Viz.
Oh, and they switched it. Yeah.
By the way, did y'all see a little demo this morning?
I think I saw Daphne Reed somewhere today.
Hanging out with somebody I know. This is your segment, so I'll save mine for casting call. Go ahead.
But even that recasting was very interesting, because they didn't just like swap out Aunt Viv's, they swapped out personalities. We went from, a woman that was a professor with a job and a lot of opinions to, I'm just going to hold the baby and cash this check. Me and Tim trying to get this production company off the ground, so I'm going to hold this baby and we're going to cash this check. I'm going to hold the baby in the kitchen. I'm going to hold the baby in the living room. I'm going to hold the baby in the pool house. It's going to be me and Nikki. Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
But I get it, though. When I got the backstory of even that, like, Daphne and Tim were actually done with Hollywood in that regard. They wanted to, go off into the sunset and go behind the camera. Mm-hmm. But they needed capital for their production company.
Right.
And so that's the only reason we get that version of Aunt Viv or Ray Campbell on Sister Sister.
Yeah.
Now, he wound up really, like, falling in love with the cast of Sister Sister and that relationship he built with Jack A and the girls and all of that. But initially, he wasn't interested.
Mm.
It was a nine to five.
Yep.
Yeah. And they put together a show that I thought that was really good, that the network wasn't ready for Frank's Place.
Oh, yeah, Frank's Place. Yeah,
Frank's Place just wasn't, the networks just weren't ready for that.
They weren't.
Yeah.
That was a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was ready to spread his wings from, being the
Venus Flytrap.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I just thought that was really interesting how, like, all the moving parts and what it takes to get a film off the ground, and the fact that, of course, it initially flopped, but now it's like in everybody's collection of films.
Okay. Now, are you ready to give your five?
Oh, you want me to do it now?
Well, it's your segment.
Okay, let's do it.
I mean, but when you finish with your other stuff, I don't know if you had other stuff you wanted to talk about, but we should start giving ours. Like, I was going to press Sam, but he was busy during the local segment. So at some point, we'll get to Mr. Crenshaw's. I'll do mine during the casting call, but this is your segment. So if you want to do it.
Okay, so I got five shows.
Well, let's tell everybody once again why we're doing this. Tonight is the Emmy Awards.
Tonight is the Emmys.
Yeah, we're always looking. By the way, is there a host for that thing?
Tonight is Eugene and Dan Levy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And mm-hmm. I think that is going to be hilarious.
Eugene Levy is one of these sneaky, funny people.
Yes. Eugene is hilarious to me.
I mean, he's not the first person, but there's some stuff he's done. It just cracks me up. It comes around the corner.
If y'all never seen Bringing Down the House with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah, please watch it.
Oh,
Eugene Levy is a hidden gem in that film. You got me straight tripping, boo.
With his voice. See, it's the voice, too, that does it.
And his face was so straight. You got me straight tripping, boo.
He's sitting there talking like a psychiatrist and delivering these lines. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, so with the Emmys tonight, Greg had us write down our top five TV shows of all time. And, of course, I cheated with two honorable mentions, but here we go.
Okay.
Number one started in 19...
They don't have to be in order.
Oh, they don't have to be in order?
They don't have to be in order.
Okay, so
just
we'll just throw them out
five.
There. Okay.
Yeah.
In Law & Order, I fell in love with... In 1999, I fell in love with a show called Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Okay.
All right. They've also... They're having a hilarious Emmy skit, I think, from a year or two ago, by the way. Mariska Hargitay and Chris Maloney. Hilarious.
Okay.
Everybody Hates Chris If you never saw it, yeah. Hidden Gem.
Tashina
Arnold was in her back.
Okay.
Tyler, I always get his name mixed up because he has three names, but Tyler Williams, but from Abbott Elementary.
All right.
Greg from Abbott Elementary. Okay, I saw a photo yesterday. It had three women from a television show in the 80s, and it said, if you know who these people are, you are my age. Those people were three of the four ladies of The Facts of Life, and that is one of my favorite shows. We also have Living Single with the theme song sung by its lead, Queen Latifah. And last but not least, Roseanne. I love a good working class comedy.
I did not expect that from you. I just didn't.
And then adjacent, Grace Under Fire, because to me they're the same show, only with a single mom. Shout out to Brett Butler.
I got cussed out by her sister once.
Ooh.
On the radio because I wouldn't play a song. You just brought back a memory from 20-some years.
Because you know they was up in Marietta.
Yeah, but no, because this is when her sister was at her zenith. As far as fame.
Okay.
And then a relative, I think it was her sister, might have been a cousin, called up and then threw that, you know who I am? I'm so-and-so, such-and-such, and we're having a little whoop-de-doo tonight. Can you play, sir? I said, I'll try and do it. We say that to everybody. We don't promise anything. We just try and do it. And like a half hour went by, and they called back, and I got it up one side and down the other.
Oh, wow.
And told me that she would never come to our radio station to be a part of the morning show.
How are you going
to
speak for her?
That, you know what I mean?
Ouch.
It was like she got empowered. But I just remember that when I think of Brett Butler. All right, no, that's not a bad list. What you think of her list?
Pretty good.
You fan of all of them shows, some of them shows, a couple of them shows?
A couple of them, yeah. We roll with a couple of them.
Okay. All right, now you got your list. We're going to come back to it in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Well, I want to remind you, if you can't get in front of a TV today, Falcons, of course, tomorrow night. But we have got NFL action for you here, starting off with the Saints and the Cowboys, followed by Cincinnati at Kansas City, and then tonight, Chicago at Houston. Of course, tomorrow night, Falcons at Philadelphia, and we have got that game for you. Pre-kick at 6 o'clock, kick at 8:15. And while I get through this week here, Wednesday, Atlanta United versus Inter Miami. He's coming back. Made the announcement. That Miami's getting their superstar back.
In time to play here?
They didn't say that.
Well, you know he's coming.
Messi's.
You know he's coming back. We're getting on toward playoff time. So, right. Yeah, he's coming back.
So Messi's come. Well, whether he shows up here for this match remains to be seen. And then, of course, Thursday night, New England at the Jets. So there you go. Some of the action coming up, and we have it for you in case you can't get in front of a TV right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Would you like an insignificant birthday
that happened
on this day? You know, we say these names and we never think about that they were actually real people. We just jump into a swimming pool and start playing a game. But no, Marco Polo actually had a birthday, and today was the day.
Real life Marco Polo.
Now, Marco, I would have no idea. See, this is the other part of it, is when did these people live? You know what I mean? So it's like I had to like look and see. He lived from 1254 to 1324.
Whoa.
That was Marco Polo.
Wow.
So there you go. And also, the 27th president of the United States would have been his birthday today. Crickets. And if you ask me that question, it'd still be crickets. No, it's William Howard Taft. William Howard Taft.
Okay.
We all had to learn all these presidents in school, and we forgot them as soon as we got to recess. It's Sam and Greg coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. We got a special guest, and I guess I should do it like this here, man, huh?
Yeah, but
no, I was Elvis. I was thinking he's a Kiss fan.
No, he's Kiss.
I can't do Gene Simmons.
Ooh.
All right, we'll play some music. But
we'll do that.
Dave Cohen is coming up. And then from Orlando, Florida, our former producer. But, you know, this great thing about having Max on, Noel and Max get along great. They talk to each other all the time. You will not find two bigger basketball fans.
Oh, I know.
Get them two in a room?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, forget about it. So Max is going to be joining us because Max, we reach out to anytime there's a UFC big event. And, of course, last night was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, that Dana White has put on in the Sphere in Vegas, all connected with Mexican independence. And so we're going to have Max call us up here and do a recap of UFC 306. I got a fresh casting call for you, but I'm going to give you my top five list. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, our own David Archer is going to join us, talk not only Falcons and Philadelphia tomorrow night, but there's been a lot of quarterbacks in the news this past week. We want to get his thoughts on that. It is Sam and Greg on this 15th day of December. Speaking of quarterbacks, happy birthday, Dan Marino. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.